Thank you to Lynn for playing so well. You are so blessed here in Lurgan to have so many talented people musically and in the word and in all sorts of ways. So thank you so much, Lynn, for playing for me tonight and trying your best to play around me. You never know where I'm going to go with whatever I'm singing, so really appreciate it. Thank you again to Morris this morning. I forgot to thank you, Morris. I was that nervous. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you for putting on And Can It Be. Really appreciate that, even though you'd sung it a couple of weeks ago. If I could sing it every week in Kilray, I'd get away with it. But a beautiful hymn. Thank you for doing that, Colin. Thank you for leading and for your kind words of welcome tonight. Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. And I want to leave before you tonight just three things that you need in death. Three things that you need in death. I've already mentioned them tonight. Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to come in at verse 12. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. And the word of God says this: giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Amen. And that will conclude our reading tonight. It's going to be a very simple message tonight, just three simple points, if you like, from a couple of words that we read, and you've maybe picked them out already as we have went through the passage tonight. Now, in society today, I'm not going to pass much comment on this, but we hear from time to time about how we might need passports, health passports, if you like, to gain access into certain venues and buildings. Now, I'm not here to give a discourse on the pros and cons or how you feel about that particular thing. Safe to say this: the day that you need a health passport to get into McDonald's, we're in a very strange place, aren't we? But anyway. However, much more important than any health passport or piece of paper that you might be required for entry into buildings on this earth, much more important is having these three things that we're going to think about tonight whenever we pass away from this time. You see, whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, we all will face death. We will all die. And I hope for all of us that's a long way away, but none of us knows the future. And whenever that time comes, it will not matter that we've had a membership of any earthly club, a secret society, some religious organization, whatever it is. If you don't have these things, if you haven't been regenerated, if you haven't been reconciled, if you haven't been redeemed, those earthly memberships, those earthly passes will matter very, very little indeed. It isn't that important when you die that you have made a will or a testament. It's beneficial. And if you've ever received something out of a will, I'm sure you've appreciated greatly. It isn't important that when you die, you somehow feel, or when you're in your final moments, that you feel you're a lot better than somebody else. You can maybe point around at other people and you can say they've done a lot worse than me, and you might be correct. But yet, whenever you stand before God at the great white throne judgment, it's not your neighbour that done you bad that you give an account for. It's not anybody else that you have to say for. It's yourself. And therefore, we need to take this message very seriously. Cast your eye down to verse 13 again. If you have your Bible open in Colossians 1:13, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I want you to think about regeneration here now. What is it to be regenerated? Well, first of all, it's not recycling. I don't know what your views are on recycling. People have different views on it. Reduce, reuse, and recycle. One of the most frustrating things about moving from one council area to another, I don't understand. I'm not going off on one here, but I don't understand how a small province like Northern Ireland can't all have the same colour-coded bins. Does anybody share my frustration? Maybe I should run for office or whatever it is. Can't understand it, and it leaves me in great confusion, recycling. But whenever it comes to salvation, it's not that you somehow recycle the good bits of your life and throw out the waste to make yourself better, to make yourself into something more acceptable. That's not what we're talking about here. Whenever you are regenerated in Christ, when you're delivered from that power of darkness and you're translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, you become a whole new creation. Not just some recycled bits of the good and we got rid of the bad. No, completely new. You see, God is able to deliver sinners from the power of darkness, sin. He's able to deliver you from the power of sin and being born in sin. You see, we're not just born in sin, but we live day to day in it. And the power of sin causes us to break God's law and his commandments. Think of the Ten Commandments. There's not one of us here tonight would probably say that they're able to or have ever kept all ten. And even if you somehow think you could have kept all ten, well, maybe the wee element of pride starting to creep in there and then you're disqualified again. Not many can say they can keep all ten commandments to somehow help them be translated, to be delivered from the power of darkness. That little word translated, what a word. Now, up in Kilray, I think they have, well, they do have a completely different accent. And particularly at the start, I could have done with a translator. I just have to listen a whole lot quicker up there. They have a wee lilt. And I dread to think how my boys are going to turn out. That beautiful Portadown accent is going to be gone. And they'll have a wee North Antrim, North Coast twang or whatever it is. But translation, what is translation? It's one language to another, isn't it? One form to another. You see, whenever the power of God comes upon you, whenever you realize that you're a sinner and you need to be saved, you need to get rid of the sin problem that you have, you can be translated. You can be changed from darkness into light, from sin to salvation, released from that power of darkness, released from the power of darkness. See, it's one thing being born in sin, and we were all born in sin. Christians somehow didn't have an exemption at the start. We were all born in sin. All born in sin. And yet, whenever salvation comes, whenever you seek the Lord for forgiveness, he's able to release and break those chains, and those that power of darkness will evaporate from your life. Whatever it is. I don't know what holds you tonight. I don't know what secret sin has an entanglement upon your life tonight. He's able to deliver you from it. He's able to break those chains. Whatever it is, God is able to break those, deliver you from the power of darkness. Not just even sin, yes, he can, but the very power of it. And he's able to translate you into the kingdom of Christ. What a contrast. I wonder tonight, am I speaking to somebody? And lovingly, if you're not in Christ, if you're not saved, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But tonight, if you have never come to the Lord for salvation to sort this sin problem out, then you are in and under the power of darkness. Wonder tonight, do you realize that you need to be delivered from it? You need to be set free from it. And here's the good news. I'll not be able to do it. None of the elders will be able to release you from the power of darkness. But praise God, we know somebody who can release you from the power of darkness. He'll shatter every chain that's binding you. And he's able to save you and translate you into the kingdom of Christ. Not just recycled, but totally regenerated. You'll be a new creation in Christ. Not worried, not concerned, not bothered by what you've done in your past. Don't need to confess it to me or anybody else. The Lord knows all about it. Whenever you come to Christ and become a new creation, a new creature, that's all gone. And you start a new life in Christ. Praise God. Not only regeneration, but then verse 14. Cast your eye down to it. You'll know this already. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In whom, of course, Christ. What is redemption? Well, here's the secular definition. If you type redemption into Google or some other search engine provider, they'll tell you this. The action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing a debt. Did you get that? The action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for clearing a debt. Now, that might be the secular definition of redemption. But it's not that far off the mark when it comes to biblical redemption, is it? You see, as we often sing, we had a debt that we couldn't owe. We owed a debt we couldn't pay. But the redemption of Christ, he's able to pay that sin debt. See, in order for us to be translated from one power of darkness into the kingdom of Christ, to be saved from that power of darkness and sin, we have to have our sin paid for. The debt was great, massive, huge, and payment was demanded. I want you to see here in this verse, in whom we have redemption. In Christ we have redemption, if you like, through his blood. See, I want you to see here the cost. What did it cost to clear my debt and your debt and the sin debt of the world? What did it cost? Well, if you're anyway familiar with your Bible, if you have any knowledge at all of it, you'll know that in the Old Testament, there were sacrifices. They used to sacrifice animals, bulls and goats. Friends, tonight, no animal sacrifice. No sacrifice even of your own time. No sacrifice of your own money, of your own energy, whatever it is. I thought about membership of different societies and different things away at the start. None of those things could ever pay the debt of sin that we owed. Not one thing. It might put a bit of a sheen on it, might clean up some things, but it would have never eradicated or paid that debt of sin that we owed. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Are you grateful for that tonight, those of us that are saved? Tonight, as I said before, I'm not worried about what you've done in your past or what you're doing at the minute. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from all sin. Isn't that incredible tonight? There's not one person in this building or listening online should ever think that they're beyond the reach of salvation. There's nobody listening or here tonight that is beyond cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse from all sin. See, Christ was the perfect one. That man, Christ Jesus, who put on flesh and dwelt among us. He became human like us, if you like. Yet one crucial difference. He was without sin. He was without sin. He dwelt among us, if you like. He lived among ordinary human beings like you and I. Many years ago, and he went to the cross, and there he died on that cross. And we'll look at that in a little moment, what that meant and what that entailed. But basically, he went to the cross, he shed his precious blood that you and I could know redemption. In whom we have redemption through his blood, Now, isn't it one thing to have redemption through his blood? But I love this little verse. I love that little word, even. Even the forgiveness of sins. Even the forgiveness of sins. Sin was such a stain. It's such a debt. We can have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. You can have that tonight. No matter what sin the power of darkness has entangled you with, the blood of Christ can forgive you and set you free from anything. Such is the power in his precious blood. I wonder tonight, do you have regeneration? Do you have redemption? Do you know what it is to have your sin debt paid? That thing that you were born with. That thing that's with you every single day of your life, eating you up, under its power. Do you know what it is to be redeemed from it, to be set free from it? Wonder tonight. No other person can redeem you except the blood of Christ. Can I ask at this point, what holds you back from this redemption? What holds you back from being regenerated in Christ? Fear of someone, something. Fear of what people would say. Fear of what a wife or a husband would say. Work colleague, whatever it is. I can't paint it for you tonight, but if you were to stand before the Lord one day and give an account as to why you rejected them, my, won't those excuses, if you like, seem very feeble on that day? Are you regenerated? Are you redeemed? And then very quickly tonight, I want to think about reconciliation. Look at verse 20 and 21. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You see, in this little province of ours, we hear a lot about peace and reconciliation, don't we? Now, I'm not here to critique it or swipe at it in any way. What is the basis of reconciliation? Take it out of Northern Ireland. Any sense of reconciliation, it's bringing two sides together, isn't it? Whether it be a husband or a wife, or two parts of a family together again, whatever it is, reconciliation is about two sides coming together. What's the basis of reconciliation? Apply it to Northern Ireland. So often we hear about it. What really is the basis of it? We want to get both sides to move slightly from where they were, and they somehow meet in the middle. And then they're able to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Isn't that what it's all about? But you see, there's something a wee bit different when it comes to biblical reconciliation, when it comes to the Bible. Because God is holy, and he can't abide sin. And that sin that you were born with, that I was born with, it separated me from a holy God. And there was nothing that I could have done to bridge that great gap, to bridge that great gulf. Sinful man could never, can never get to a holy God in and of his own strength or his own power. That presents a problem, doesn't it? Because God never compromised. God wasn't going to move or somehow reduce his standards and meet us in the middle. Oh no, he didn't do that. But he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he became our mediator, talks about in Scripture. He became that great gulf-spanning Savior. He's the one that's able to reconcile us to a holy God. The Lord Jesus Christ became the one who would bridge that gap, as we have read tonight. And because of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ came down from glory. And he went to that cross. And he died that cruel, awful death that maybe you're very familiar with and you've heard this preached so many times. And physically, he was marred, or he was beaten, he was disfigured more than any man. His back was like a ploughed field. He was battered, he was bruised. There's a little phrase in Isaiah 53 about how it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And whenever you look into that word bruise, It could be rendered crushed. Now, it's one thing to be bruised. We've all had a good bruising, I'm sure. I mean, if Colin Emerson hit you in the rugby pitch, you'd know what it is to be bruised, wouldn't you? Or any sort of sport. Just because you're fast, Colin, nothing else. But we all know what it's like to be bruised and you're sore. But isn't it a whole other thing, a whole other level to be crushed? And yet the Lord Jesus Christ was crushed on the cross for our sin. Isn't that something? He was crushed for us. And he went to the death of a cross. The physical pain of crucifixion was like nothing else. I don't want to be too graphic tonight because it's lovely to see children here. And now they're just going to pay attention now that I've mentioned them. But the Romans perfected, if you like, the most barbaric, evil way to punish somebody that they could in the form of crucifixion. A punishment so severe that no Roman citizen was subject to it, but it was reserved for the worst of society. And they did that to the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless, perfect Son of God. Nails through your hands and your feet. The jolt whenever the cross was dropped into the ground would very often dislocate nearly every bone in your body. Tearing all the wounds made by the nails. You add in all the cramps from being in that unnatural position. If you were anyway strong, you could maybe survive for 3 days in complete agony on the cross. The public stigma of suffering a criminal's death. And yet that's not all the Lord went through to be able to save you tonight. Because you add on top another layer of it. He who knew no sin became sin for us. All the sin was laid upon him. He was crushed. He was bruised. All those spiritual sufferings of Christ, which we'll maybe never be able to comprehend fully, was all poured out on him so that you could be redeemed, that you could be reconciled, that you could be regenerated in Christ. How could you ever reject such a Savior? As the hymn writer says, and we often used to sing it around the table, oh, help me understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. If you're not saved here tonight or online, you can't sing that little phrase. You can't sing that little chorus. And yet, every sin that you've ever done, the sin of the world was laid upon him that you could have salvation, that you could be free. That gives you reconciliation tonight. Maybe you're here tonight, and as we close very quickly and briefly, why is it so important to be regenerated? Why is it so important to have redemption? Why is it so important to be reconciled? Why do people invite me to gospel meetings? Why do people give me tracts? Why do you want me to hear preachers preaching about this? Why do you pray for me? Look at verse 27 of Colossians 1. To whom God would make known what is the riches of glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's your hope. Then look at verse 28. There's a little word here. Whom we preach, warning every man. See, the gospel is a word of warning. If you know all three, if you've been regenerated, if you've been reconciled, if you've been redeemed, you'll know what it is to be in heaven whenever you pass away from this life. That's not just a wee Christian cliche that we say to give ourselves comfort, but we know it. It's going to be true. We will be in heaven. And you see, that leaves the obvious question, well, what becomes of those that aren't redeemed, aren't reconciled, aren't regenerated, if you like? The opposite of heaven is, of course, the lost eternity called hell. Doesn't give any preacher or any speaker any pleasure at all in talking about this. Most wonderful aspect of the gospel message is that while we have to warn you about such a place, that lost eternity called hell, that place of torment. There's absolutely no reason tonight why anybody here should die unprepared. Because the gospel is so simple, isn't it? We're born in sin. Christ is the Savior. So simple. No reason at all why anyone here should die in your sin. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He that cometh to me, that's Christ, I will in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, tonight as we close, I have a great fear that for so many in Northern Ireland, we are so privileged, we are so blessed to hear so much gospel preaching. And maybe you've been here week after week, year after year. You're maybe more faithful than some of the members. Who knows? You're here every week and you listen online and you take the tracts and you read it. And yet, after all that, the last thing in your mind tonight is salvation. The last thing in your mind is eternity. The last thing in your mind is preparing to meet God. As lovingly and as tenderly as I can put it tonight, if you die in your sin, if you haven't been redeemed or reconciled or regenerated, there's only but one destination. And that's a lost eternity called hell. Forever. There's no escape. There's no second chance. There's no opportunity to reconsider. When you're there, you're there. I wonder tonight, are you regenerated in Christ? Are you redeemed by His precious blood? Are you reconciled to a holy God? Let's just pray tonight. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for how simple Your word is. We thank You for the message of salvation. Father, we thank You tonight for help given. Father, we pray tonight for those that are maybe in the meeting tonight who don't know these three things, who don't know what it is to be reconciled to You, to be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and to be regenerated in Christ, to be that new creation. Father, tonight we pray that You would move and that You would speak and that You would save precious souls even in this building tonight. And all the glory and all the honor will go to You and You alone. Father, we pray that You would just take this message and bring it home to the hearts of those who need You most tonight. We just ask all these things in and through Your precious name. Amen. We're going to have our closing hymn at this stage.